What is going on, guys?
Hello.
Welcome back to the Headless Chicken Podcast. I'm your host, Pasty Mamba, or James, coasting with me as always, Lord Rooster.
Hello.
And coming in from parts unbeknownst to the common population, it is legendary special guest, Blue Milk. How's it going?
Awesome.
Nice. Good to hear. Let's just jump into a little, we have a lot to talk about in general. A lot of stuff has happened, but let's just jump into little bits. I don't have that much, but some of them are pretty significant, I think. The first
we'll
one
we'll see about
we got,
that.
Y'all, yeah, we'll see. The first one, we got the Halloween Ends release date so far for October 14th, 2022. Which, you know, that should be cool. So we'll see what happens with that. Next up.
Sweet.
I hope there's a slasher renaissance, bro.
Yeah, I hope so too. Dude, I hope that this Halloween trilogy, like, I want a new Nightmare on Elm Street, bro.
Yeah, that's
done
all
crazy
I want.
Good.
All I want
like,
is Nightmare
you know,
on Elm Street.
Cool Nightmare on Elm Street could be, bro.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have that, and then... And then Jason is obviously...
Yeah, obviously having another... Well,
all of those. You can do Scream again, too. You can do...
Scream is getting another one.
Yeah, man.
Scream
so,
5
yeah, it
is.
It literally is,
soon.
So...
But they should make more trilogies, for sure.
More
slashes,
yeah,
just like condensed...
Yeah, these
like,
are cool.
Some,
just what, tell an act, tell a story.
Yeah. One of these one of these brainiacs in Hollywood can't roll in there with a three-part trilogy idea for Nightmare movies, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can totally... man, Nightmare...
Or two movies.
So dope.
Or two,
dude.
Yeah, man.
Or
it doesn't even have to be
two.
A trilogy.
Yeah.
Sure.
Or like really just like a solid couple of movies at least.
Yeah.
Bro.
Or
two,
one.
Three, four even if you want. Like,
dude,
you really have
just
something
one.
Good.
Start with one.
Or
maybe,
one.
Even.
Or
yeah,
start with
but
one.
Solid,
how about a solid man. One? But I don't know.
Solid
sometimes,
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Sometimes I feel like if they roll in there with the three... picture idea they just are taking
I
it more
like,
seriously
yeah,
whereas
yeah.
with they if they go on with one well, sometimes they're trying to
Star
throw
Wars,
everything
though.
In there and Star Wars what
yeah
Star Wars that
exactly
just,
made,
no, that's not
made
how
billions
trilogy,
it made billions though
made
so
billions,
that's all that matters
cheeks, dude.
But yeah they should have come up with a plan for that and then just movie
oh,
by
exactly
movie.
Star Wars yeah Star Wars is actually a good example of why they should come in with a three-part plan
yeah exactly
actually
one it can make money but then also from the critical perspective come in with a three-part plan because duh
any-
if you're doing a trilogy
is there anybody you'd cast for any now? Who would you cast if you had
him? I don't know, dude. That's Robert Englund.
I don't know. Sometimes
he's still doing stuff for Stranger Things. So.
No, he's got to be... Is he?
He's aged
he's
out
in the next Stranger
role.
Things season, yeah.
Oh, dope.
Yeah, but he's aged out of that role.
He should... True. Now, don't get me wrong. He should be in it in some fashion. But I don't know. The body type that I've noticed recently that looks the most like Freddy is... our good friend Pasty Mamba, with the lankiness,
I totally do it.
But for real,
the curvature in the back.
Yeah, dude.
But for real, what about Skarsgård?
Oh yeah,
Skarsgård. Yeah, he can totally do.
He plays Pennywise.
Bill Skarsgård.
Yeah,
yeah,
Bill Skarsgård.
I think it was Bill.
Yeah, Pennywise. Yeah,
there's like 20 Skarsgårds.
He would kill. He would kill it. Actually, that's who
That'd
I would cast.
What would Freddy want to be doing? What would be the goal of a two or three story idea?
Well, the first one is classic Nightmare on Elm Street. Obviously, I just want to go back to the classic.
Like,
just reintroduce the character to everybody.
Yeah,
it's been a minute yeah. since we've seen it. I mean, dude, Halloween was a remake. I mean, straight up. I know it's a continuation and it had a story, but that might as well have been a remake. It had a lot of cool stuff though, but you can still do, like kind of remake the
Halloween's borderline full reboot though.
Like, yeah, but they had a lot of cool stuff with like the booby traps in the house, and then them hunting Mike was cool. So they could do like the. You know how in Nightmare Nancy did that whole Home Alone setup thing for Freddy?
Yeah.
I want them to lean into that a little more in the first movie.
For sure.
Lean into her resourcefulness because
that
was
cool.
Just awesome.
Yeah.
But and then probably second movie, I don't know. I don't know how you continue. regular slasher. I think other than he lived, and now we got to deal with that again.
Yeah, I think you just have to look at what would Freddy, what would Freddy want to be doing? Would he want to be getting out into the real world? Would he want to be bringing people into the nightmare world? How? What is his best way to get the most victims? The most bang
for
his buck?
Maybe someone's trapped in the dream world. Like they kind of overhaul the dream world idea, and it isn't just. Freddy finds you and you die, but it's just a nightmare world that he controls and owns. You could still survive in nightmare world. So, like, now Freddy isn't overpowered in nightmare world. So you could have the sequel be Nightmare on Elm Street, like, in the nightmare world. And then it's just, or whatever.
Nightmare on Elm Street 2 in the nightmare world.
Maybe Nancy's trying to get her friend back, and so she's trying to get through nightmare world, and there's a bunch of crazy stuff there, and then you kind of end it back in the real world, obviously.
Is it possible for somebody to get trapped in the nightmare world and they have to send in Snake Plissken to go get them out? Is there any way?
Can we do that? Well, no, but that would be awesome if they assembled an A-team to go into nightmare world.
Yeah, that's probably not a bad idea.
Man. Well, actually, that you kind of then lean into Dream Warriors, which is pretty sick, and you kind of redo the good parts of that. And you kind of have Nancy be a coach, and she actually gets help to, jump into the actual dream world and get her friend back, and then you could have like a little subplot of them government trying to capture Freddy, that was the secret agenda. You could have that kind of subplot in there too.
Yeah, very aliens-esque.
Just because that would be kind of dope,
And you would think
to that trope.
Well, and there is always somebody that's going to want to do that. You know, they want that power for good or for evil. You know, they want to get that power. So it's always believable too, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's pretty good, man. I like it. Pretty good. That's solid.
Yeah, that'd be pretty dope.
Put that together, bro.
That's pretty solid.
That's all you.
Yeah, let's go. Ready to go. All right. Next little bits.
Next up, we have the announcement that they are doing a live-action Pokemon. Is it a show or movie at Netflix? They're doing something with live-action
series,
Pokemon.
Series.
That'll be dope.
So there you go.
I don't know. Will
Ryan Reynolds
will it be,
as
though?
Pikachu still? That could be still
good. Cool. Pokemon has a lot of potential, bro.
No, I believe it is, but I think... Yeah. Look, I don't know a lot about Pokemon, but it's not for lack of interest. It's for lack of time. But I do know that this is a beloved franchise, right? And anytime you want to...
Maybe the most beloved.
It might be the...
So am I the only guy, the non-Pokemon-knowing guy, is the one that's saying this might not be a good idea because it's so beloved by people? They can only mess this up. Or will it look cool? You tell me. I don't know.
Well, I think
they needed to take
Pikachu is like
Detective Pikachu.
All right,
I heard it was good.
I heard it was like actually not bad.
It just depends on the angle they take, I guess.
Yeah, because if they go the Detective Pikachu route, a lot of Pokemon fans were pretty satisfied with that.
Okay, it's just dangerous ground to tread
with live action Pokemon. I don't know, dude.
Well, if they do it the same way they did Pikachu,
do it like that
because it looked good.
They'll take what they can get. Bro,
I think it looked good
enough. Pokemon.
It looked good enough in Detective Pikachu just from the trailers. I never watched it though.
For sure.
Well, good luck. Good luck to them.
Well, yeah.
I hope the fans are. I hope they're well fed.
I hope they
get what they want. Exactly.
Next up, we got Jordan Peele released the poster for his next movie called Nope. and it featured a cloud with lights or something.
Carnival.
Yeah, it's like a flags, like a tale of flags almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's a carnival down.
And then, That's all we know.
It'll be amazing.
It'll be good.
Well,
you got Steven Yeun.
Yeah, you got a couple names on the poster.
You got the main guy from Get Out. God, what's his name?
Daniel Kaluuya.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Mm-hmm. He's really
good. You already have two of the best actors in the business, bro.
Yeah, I saw
Steven Yeun and Kaluuya, bro.
And then the release date, July 22nd of next year. Yeah, I saw
Kaluuya.
I saw one article that said Jordan Peele releases first image and casting news and release date. And it's like, well, they just put out a poster, and all that information was on there.
There's just a poster.
It's just funny.
Wasn't the release date like coming soon or something?
I don't know. This one says July 22nd.
I love that Jordan Peele keeps his stuff under wraps until like 6 months before or whatever, 10 months before the movie comes out, and then he's like,
"No, I think he posted it like a year before it came out."
I've heard nothing about it.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah, because I remember anything about this James.
No, because I remember it said release date July 22nd. It was July.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah. I guess it's a year. Oh, my bad.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
but I just like that he's like, oh yeah, it's coming out a year.
That he just releases the information just with the poster. Boom, there you go. Doesn't say anything else about it.
Deuce.
Let everybody just speculate.
And then we'll see when a trailer comes out.
Let all those podcasters speculate.
Yeah. I'm not watching any trailers. Us was like too much. I think if I went into Us with nothing, that movie would have been crazy. And I know, obviously, Get Out, we watched the trailers I just trust Jordan Peele to the same level that I now trust, like, you know, these other, like, Tarantino.
You know what I don't trust Jordan Peele with is titling his movies.
Oh, bro. I think. No. Get Out was great.
Get Out was good. Title. Get Out is a great
and,
title.
And
end
so
of list.
Is Us. Us was
it's
good.
Fine. It's fine.
Because Us is really in the movie. Like,
yeah, it's fine. Yeah. It's fine.
And Nope, I bet it's going to be great, too. I bet you'll be surprised.
I'm sure.
Get Out, whenever you heard Get Out.
Yeah, but Get Out matches anything. I will see that movie sight unseen. Hey, there's a horror movie called Get Out. Oh, yeah. Sign me up.
They
better get out. I know they better get the hell out.
Us fits pretty well.
Us fits super
it's fine.
Well.
It's good.
A doppelganger movie, bro.
Well, and
it's called Us.
And the
of course it fits.
The whole theme of it was about that, what was it? That commercial from back in the day.
Yeah,
and it kept on saying something about us. I forget. Yeah. It's super creepy, but
It was the holding hands across
hands
America.
Across America,
yeah,
right?
So weird. And I think obviously he's not dropping the Nope title for his first movie. He knows that I can do whatever now.
Yeah.
What if he almost did, and then he's like, they're not ready.
He said,
they're not ready for that.
Nope. Get Out first.
Yeah,
it's gonna be great. I'm
I
sure.
just hope it's like yeah, Edgar it's Wright's incredible. Don't. Where it's just a bunch of people saying no.
What's it called?
Should we split up? No.
When does Candyman come out?
August, I believe.
That's going to be really telling on, not really telling on Jordan Peele, but if Candyman's great, then it really does feel like anything this dude touches is greatness. And I don't know, Candyman looks pretty great. So
and. That favors the horror renaissance that we're the slasher renaissance that we're hoping for.
Oh, I hope Candyman's good.
Dude. That's 90s.
I really hope it's great. We talked about that a while back.
Yeah, dude, that'd be so cool.
Oh my god, it would be awesome. Because
the original is cool, dude.
Yeah, it's just aged poorly.
Yeah,
I don't know if it has though. You think?
But well,
it's just not as scary as it used to be.
I watched it and I was just like, yeah, I think
it's still creepy though.
It's like Halloween is aged.
I think, exactly. Halloween is aged poorly, but
although them bees in his mouth is always scary because he did that she for real. So
aged poorly that it's not scary. Halloween's not scary. It's just a vibe now. Candyman is the same. Very similar. I think the new Halloween is way scarier than the old one, and I think this one. I hope this one's a similar.
Hopefully, man, because that would be so dope. But then anyways, next up, we saw there was an official Star Wars Comic-Con trailer, or not trailer, poster poster, not trailer, that was released that shows Luke next to Grogu, and Grogu's chilling with his lightsaber parts, and there's like a yellow kyber crystal, so Grogu would get a yellow lightsaber, which was cool. I was like,
when was this released?
Cool.
I didn't see it.
Like a week ago, probably.
Dang, was that shared?
Maybe a couple days. I didn't know. It wasn't shared.
I saw James, if you're going to bring it up, you got to make sure we've seen this so we can comment on it.
I saw it on Twitter, bro.
Well, you better find it fast and share it fast.
I can find it and share it with you.
Of course. It sounds amazing, though. From James's verbal
off the dome
explanation.
Well, but what's also cool is I was wondering what's
cool.
going to be at Comic-Con, and Star Wars is there, so that's nice too.
There you go, bro.
Yeah.
All
there
right.
You go.
Thank you. All right. So dang, they really are leaning into
Grogu's
this Luke thing.
Speeding up though, getting lightsaber. I mean, listen, I hate that Yoda has a lightsaber. But if they do it right, you know.
Well,
cool.
Also, Grogu isn't Yoda.
Yeah, but
yeah, he's
Yoda's
baby
species,
Yoda.
So I'm just curious. Well, I don't like all them flips, bro. He's still teeny doing. If he's doing flips and stuff,
those flips are dope.
Grogu could be a lightsaber. That's his thing. He's a
Grogu
dueling
could,
Jedi.
Flips. You already
but
know
also,
flips.
But also,
and flips are dope.
I get worried that the flips would be lame.
Why don't you like
the
flips?
Yoda? I just don't like Yoda doing.
But
Yoda doesn't seem like he would have a lightsaber and like flips and stuff. And
it would definitely be cooler if Yoda didn't have a lightsaber.
Dude, Yoda's a force wielder, man. That's his power. It's like classic Loki, dude. Is what I imagine Yoda should be. He's like, no, dude, the sorcery is where it's at, not the weapons.
Yeah, definitely. Yoda would be more way all about the force.
Exactly. And every fight starts off with him using the force, and it's cool, bro. The way he, like, absorbed force lightning and then shot it back, that's super cool, dude. Oh, no, but then we get a bunch of flips. Never mind.
I don't know, dude. Sorry that Star Wars has lightsabers in it, and they just feel like Jedi need to use lightsabers, even your beloved Yoda.
Yoda could use a lightsaber for, like, deflecting stuff, bro. Defense.
Yeah,
but when he's doing flips and stuff, it just looks weird to me.
He can do it well.
Yeah. Anyways.
Jeez.
Next up, we got, first off, apparently an Invincible movie is coming out. And Robert Kirkman said that it would be way different from the show. But what really caught my eye was that it's apparently being written, directed, and produced by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg.
Sweet.
Which is awesome. Which they had, you know, they were involved in the show a little bit too, but that's super cool that they got.
Is that true?
The helm.
When was this announced?
Invincible is amazing.
This was like today, bro.
Dang. Dude, yeah, I was going to say
on your game,
on Twitter
James.
Again. I would have shared it, but it's on Twitter, so I guess I'll forward all that stuff up.
Yeah, share it, brah. No, that's
you
exciting.
Should hook
though.
Up a Twitter group chat.
Yeah, we need to. But yeah.
Because I see stuff on Twitter too that I wish I could send.
Yeah, we'll do that then. But yeah, dude, Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg, doing everything for a Invincible, bro.
Yeah, at first I was gonna say,
and it's gonna be way different. Which
but
I like that they're
how is it
gonna
be way different?
Because might as well, dude. I don't know, man.
But look,
well, there's a lot of untapped things in that world.
I imagine there's so much.
They can do some really cool stuff.
No,
even if
what this is Robert Kirkman
reaching
too far yet again, just like he did with Walking Dead and the five other Walking Dead shows that nobody cares about. But look, I get it though, because
Batman shows
before you,
and we have we have Batman movies too. Like he could go on,
and one of them is usually garbage.
Invincible could go on a completely like different subplot.
I hope so. Well, look, you know, I like those names attached to it.
I think they should.
I was doubtful until you said Rogan and Goldberg, so I'm in.
Yeah, because I don't know, dude. Just reading the comics, you just see a lot that they could just tap into whenever they want and just tell a story real quick. And
yeah,
and do we have,
they could have a big bad villain.
Do we have a date for this?
Kind of Marvel.
No date. No casting. No anything. So
cool.
Just the announcement. I didn't know they were making any movie. I think it's a new announcement. So
Comic-Con happening, that, like surprised right now?
Maybe. I don't know. Is Comic-Con going on right now?
Jeez.
I imagine it's about to. I don't know.
Looking up this stuff real time is sweet.
And I should have looked it up. And I wish I knew, because Comic-Con this year, it's like, well, what's the point, brah? Like, we might have some Star Wars stuff, but Marvel has their own thing.
Well, that's what it sounds like. That's what sounds like the unfortunate thing is that Comic-Con just happened. We just passed.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That everybody's coming up with their own conventions. So, yeah. You know, once Disney had broken off and has their own thing, I don't know. I think that's part of it. COVID didn't help either. But they're still, COVID people still.
COVID caused it, bro.
Even Disney with their own little gathering, their own convention, they should do things for Comic-Con, especially Marvel things. Why not?
If anything, Star Wars is the thing that shouldn't be at Comic-Con. If you had to choose, like, have Marvel stuff be at Comic-Con, it's literally like what it was for,
right? Exactly.
And the Invincible movie will be live action.
There you go. So
there you have it.
Interesting. All right. I wonder how brutal they're going to get. If they're going to be
soups, probably
as brutal as the show, because that would be nuts.
What's next?
Yeah, next we got Michael B. Jordan I have one more after this. Michael B. Jordan is developing a Superman project for HBO Max that's separate from the J.J. Abrams film that they're doing. It'll apparently be following Val Zod, which is one of the, on Earth 2 in the comics, is one of the Kryptonians that escaped with Clark Kent and Supergirl. So
isn't this going to essentially take him out of the running to be Superman in J.J. Abrams' movie?
I imagine
and
so.
And that makes me think they didn't want him, which is the worst thing. I'm boycotting J.J. Abrams' Superman.
But
now.
They also could have been like, well, they probably approached him and was like, yo, can you do this? And he was like, actually, I got an idea for a side Superman thing. And they're like, okay. I mean, it was probably his choice, if anything, to...
I don't know. I feel like if he... Now that... if he's doing this, then he probably would have been down to do a star in his own movie with J.J. Abrams, you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe he saw the dumpster fire of the Star Wars movies and was like, J.J. Abrams? Hell no, bro. I'll do my own thing.
You're having me close out a J.J. Abrams trilogy?
Nope.
I'm good.
I'm out. I'll do my own thing.
Yeah.
And maybe DC wanted him that bad that they're like, we'll give you whatever, Michael B. Jordan. you want your own show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's cool. Can't wait.
And then lastly, Clerks 3, it starts its production in, I think, this upcoming August, which is cool. Like, it's actually, I think the rights got bought by Lionsgate or someone like that.
Yeah.
And so they can actually start, like, making Clerks 3, which is cool.
That is pretty cool. I can't remember how long has it been since Clerks 2. Seems like a good amount of time. So it seems like it's a good time to go revisit it. Why not, right?
Yeah.
And then this is on the heels of Masters of the Universe being released.
Mm-hmm. Revelation.
So, which won't spoil anything. Or we'll try not to spoil anything.
Let me just say, I loved Masters of the Universe Revelation, bro. Whatever Kevin Smith is doing is goat, dude.
Yeah, really? This guy was all about it.
Yeah, it's the most epic thing ever. So, hands down.
There's a lot of controversy around
There is
a lot of controversy.
I'm not really understanding all of the controversy. I agree with old Pasty over there. I enjoyed it. And Yeah, I mean, yeah. I guess minor spoilers, He-Man is not in every episode or is not as front and center as some expect him to be. And but like, I don't know, it fits with the story. It's kind of cool. And
also, dude, this is the next step for the He-Man universe. Like, if you just follow the same dude over and over again, it gets stale. You don't bring in new fans. It's just,
well, especially because
like, if the He-Man, like, oh my god, dude, the guys on Twitter and stuff, the people bombing the review,
calling it, dude, they keep calling it Masters of the Universe, Last Jedi.
It doesn't make any sense.
And not only all of this, but only the first five episodes were released. Yeah. Part one out of two.
They're
losing their minds over part one of something. Like, how about we let this play out? But yeah,
you want more fans, and He-Man is cool, and he's always going to be there, but in order to expand the universe and get new fans, you need to, like, dive into other characters every now and then and tell stories with them, especially whenever it's literally not called He-Man.
Especially because I think that this isn't a reboot, dude, of Masters of the Universe. I think it's a sequel from the original show.
Yeah, it's kind of a continuation, essentially.
Like, it's more of a continuation. And I think it's more like, they also reboot. Like, hopefully Masters of the Universe gets more content in general now because of the show. But it's not, like, exactly, dude. It doesn't have to follow He-Man every episode.
There you go. But people are all mad because,
They do some pretty shocking things in the show, but it's not enough to warrant all of the uproar that you keep hearing. I don't think so. So, and whenever, dude, trust me, whenever He-Man is in it, he's goated, dude.
Is he a beast?
Yeah, man. Like,
so, right, so the first... like they're complaining that the basically is he like the goat, right? He's like a Mary Sue, right?
He's like, he's just cool on screen.
Is he just undefeatable?
No, not necessarily.
Probably not. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so.
I think Kevin Smith is taking a more interesting route. I don't know fully, but from everything that I've heard and I've looked into the people in uproar, like, it seems like they're following a more interesting character who's less developed and has maybe more, like, is less powerful. It seems like if you're just following He-Man, he's just wrecking she.
Dude, and what I'm saying, bro, is when He-Man is in the show, he's the coolest ever. Like, he makes his appearance felt for, you know, whether he's in the show that much or not. Like, you at least feel it. Like, dude, the first... I don't know, man. I just, like, after watching that first episode especially, like, I don't know how you could hate this show, bro.
Not everybody can be critics.
Yeah. Like, dude, the first He-Man, when he powers up and says, by the power of Grayskull and all that, it's the coolest thing ever. Like, I was watching, I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. This is dope. Kevin Smith had just made He-Man my new favorite thing, so. Yeah. I don't know, man. All the criticism,
saying that because Kevin Smith is friend of the pod. I'm assuming.
Yeah. No, anyway. we've said his movies are bad before.
I love his movies. Some of them are,
Some more than others.
They're flawed.
But I think Masters of the Universe, though, Revelation, is awesome, though.
I think
he killed it. And like you said, it's only part one. So, cool it. Nerds.
Jeez, starting an internet war, bro.
And some of the spoilers, man. I wish we didn't get into spoilers because some of the ideas in it are super cool. Everything with Triclops is genius to me. I'm like, that's awesome. Of course, they like that's a cool twist, man. On it, yeah, man.
All
right. I had the best time ever.
It sounds like James is bringing controversy to the pod. But yeah,
we'll win.
I will win. You know, I will, man.
Yeah, we'll win. Good luck. Yeah. Good luck, fans.
So yeah, maybe we'll we'll readdress.
I defended Last Jedi. When that came out.
After Blue Milk, we'll readdress.
I defended Last Jedi until Rise of Skywalker wrapped everything up. I'm gonna do the same at least here, bro. At least watch it wrap up, bro. I think they'll do better than Star Wars.
For sure.
Well, I'm excited to watch it, and I'll come.
Let's just say
I'll bring some ammo for the nerds too.
Because of this show, I'm looking for all the He-Man merch, brah, I can get. Straight up, dude. So,
I don't think you can go wrong.
Masters of the Universe merch.
Especially, you can't go wrong with any Skeletor merch.
Exactly. And Mark Hamill Skeletor, come on.
Barry, did you get a Skeletor Funko, or were you just thinking about it?
Oh, I was about to.
Dang, I knew it was close.
Told you he didn't do it.
Anyway, it sounds like this is a hot topic, so we'll see if it's still a hot topic for long enough for Blue Milk to watch it and us to cover it. So, anyway.
The title of this one is He-Man is Actually Good.
Masters of the Universe Revelations is good.
Bring on the
please fight
bring
me,
on
bro.
The controversy.
Fight me on it, dude. Yeah. Yeah, tweet at me, bro, and, like, go off if you want.
There's the title. Master of the Universe is good. Bring it on, nerds.
Yeah, bring it on, nerds. Yeah. That's it. I'm writing that down. But, yeah.
What's next up?
That's all I have Tarantino. For a little bit.
Yeah, I just saw this thing online. Let me try to find it. Here it is. The headline said something about Tarantino thinks Robert Rodriguez might do a Once Upon a Time in Hollywood spinoff. And what it was talking about was, I know Blue Milk, you're familiar with the book, right? Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and how there were a lot of episodes or a lot of talk about Lancer, the series Lancer.
Oh, no way, dude. Oh. It would be the greatest movie ever made.
You think so?
Like, for real. Dude, the Lancer subplots in the book were better than, like, I think anything in the actual main story. It was so good, bro. So, Tarantino got in his bag for the Lancer series, too.
So awesome.
And that's basically what he said in a Q&A somewhere. He just talked about he loved the idea. He didn't specify if it would be he thought it'd be a cool idea for a series or a movie. But
doesn't matter.
Of course, Lancer is the part of the movie with Timothy Oliphant. And he just, Tarantino loved the idea that Rodriguez would make a good Lancer.
That'd be so
good.
He
would kill it. So. Dude, man, the backstory of Timothy Oliphant's character, really? The Lancer character, is...
Like the Lancer character?
Yeah, the Lancer characters... Like the
character
actual character,
in the fictional show. So in the
movie. Not Timothy Oliphant's the actor. The actual characters in the show, bro, are some of the most awesome, unique characters I've ever read, bro. Like so I need to see a Lancer spinoff. I'm so happy to hear that. Because I was thinking, I was thinking maybe following Brad Pitt's character back in the war, but. Dude, that's amazing.
Well, no. It's just a side. It was just a comment. So.
Yeah, I know. But, like, if they do, just the fact that that's floating around is awesome to hear from me.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because, man, it's such a good. If you guys ever have some time, just find those chapters because you don't even need to read the rest of the book to read through those chapters and read about it.
Nice. All right.
Sounds like this is the greatest book of all time, bro.
No, it's all right, but there are some great parts. There's some really great parts.
Yeah.
All right, Loki time.
I think we're good. Are you guys trying to jump into Loki?
Loki. 4 weeks later.
All right, Loki.
Yeah.
A couple weeks later.
Apologies. You know, we had a holiday that force some adjusting in the podcast schedule.
We had company holiday break.
Company retreat.
Retreat.
But we did, while we were on the retreat, we watched the Loki finale though too.
Yeah, so if you're listening to this in the future, you're like, what are you talking about? Just get onto Loki. Stop telling us about taking breaks.
But yeah, dude, I loved it, obviously, because my theory was right. my Kang theory.
Jesus, James. Was correct. So James, they basically said it's Kang the episode before, and you're dude, like, yeah,
James,
you're
is, nah. James is like,
they had go Kang's, back, bro. They basically had Kang's pet in the dude, episode before.
Go back, bro. Go back to episode one, dude, with the TVA, bro. When I heard TVA, Kang.
I didn't,
bro,
you called that for episode one?
When Timekeepers, bro. I was like, dude, Kang.
Like, are you sure? Because
teams up with the Timekeepers all the time, dude.
Timekeepers are fake. Kang's behind it.
I didn't say that. I said Kang is behind. I said Kang is involved. I didn't know the Timekeepers were fake.
I didn't hear a theory that wasn't Kang.
Dude,
that's all I'm saying. Except for early, maybe though. You right. earlier still holding on to that. What is it?
Mephisto.
Oh yeah, Mephisto. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Still hanging on to that.
Yeah, dude. Until you're like, I guess Kang.
Listen, they have not denied Mephisto. I'm just saying that.
Mephisto is net. Is like he'll come.
But yeah, dude, Kang, Fat Dub. I think it's gonna be awesome. They're gonna finish off the Kang arc with Fantastic Four at the end of this phase. I think.
You think Fantastic Four are gonna finish off Kang?
I don't think it's gonna be a 10-year plan or whatever like Thanos. I think it's like by the end of this phase, I mean, we'll have so much Marvel content that it'll feel like
Kang
the same
seems
amount.
Like he's kind of a beast though.
Kang is a beast, bro.
What phase
dude,
are we in?
I think he punched Thanos' heart out.
Kang probably, dude. One I know time. He's more powerful than Thanos, I think.
Well, that's
I'm pretty sure. I'm
whatever.
But it, also time, who knows. Oh. Yeah.
Dude, Time wait, God sorry. Dr. Doom or whatever. Time Lord Dr. Doom. For some reason, side tangent, I looked into him because he was following Kang, and apparently he's the most powerful MCU character of all time, because it's just Dr. Doom went back like 2,000 years and just lived out the 2,000 years in this castle and is figured out time travel.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's pretty cool. He nice. Messed Thanos up.
Dude,
straight
Dino
Thanos.
Doctor Doom. I'm very, very excited for Doctor Doom.
Doctor Doom has to. If he isn't the next big bad, I'm gonna be pretty disappointed.
Because you know what's? Because dude, you know the worst
you
thing about
after Kang?
Doctor Strange.
Yeah,
is,
after Kang.
You know what the worst thing about Doctor Strange movie is that Mads Mikkelsen can't play Doctor Doom now, because that'd be perfect casting.
Oh, he would have been awesome.
But yeah, dude, Dr. Doom, bro, he's cool, dude. He's cool, bro. I remember, dude, because I remember,
cool, bro.
You could get,
I remember back in the day, bro, the first time I, like, really had anything with Dr. Doom was Marvel Ultimate Alliance, bro. He was, like, the main villain something. And I remember, like, oh, man, this Dr. Doom is crazy,
dude,
bro.
Tom Hardy Dr. Doom would be pretty dope.
Tom Hardy, he's going to be Venom, though.
Yeah.
Like, when they merge the universes?
Venom's gonna...
Yeah.
No, it's collapsing. It's gonna collapse after this next one, and Tom Hardy will be Dr. Doom.
Yeah, but if they make a deal to bring Venom into the MCU, Tom Hardy's still playing him.
Yeah, he would act... Tom Hardy's actually a pretty good Venom.
Yeah. No, he,
if they do that,
and
I
heard that Venom is pretty fun, though. Like, the movie is I heard it's bad, but also Tom Hardy's good.
Yeah.
As Venom. And, like, stuff with Venom and Tom Hardy is good, so.
Yeah. But anyways,
Kang, you know what else
cool
is pretty good?
Episode.
Loki.
But anyways.
this episode was just exposition.
Yeah, it's exposition dump. And I loved it. I was cool.
The majority of it takes place at the Citadel at the end of time, where they meet up with
Kang.
Yeah, what do they call him?
Kang the diplomat, maybe.
Yeah, this is it's the most powerful version of Kang, but he's like diplomatic. He's not evil.
He's a good guy. Yeah, he's a good guy. Yeah.
Everyone else though is very evil or like more than him. And,
Kang the Conqueror usually.
Yeah, which is what we're gonna get. So
yeah,
this like you said, this is an exposition dump.
It's my one of my least favorite episodes probably, but it was still good. I still liked it, but it was, like, super exposition. Like,
it is
a lot of exposition, bro.
Yeah. Just because they were sitting down for 3 hours to have a conversation.
Personally, I liked it.
The conversation
but
was pretty good.
It's very,
yeah, the conversation was good. And, like, everything was, like, I thought it was all well, handled well, and it was still a good episode, and a lot of good Loki moments, and Kang was cool, but dang, bro. Yeah. Do anything for the last episode.
You know what it is, dude? Is that Marvel knows that they're jumping into a pretty wild thing in this phase. And so they need to slow it down and, like, for the casual, because I know they could talk about some crazy. Yeah, I would know what it is, but the casuals, they need some help.
They needed that exposition dump.
It sure did, because, like, going into that episode, you're introducing us to somebody brand new.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that was a good idea. And I don't know if it was a good idea to give us all that exposition.
That's what I was, well,
I'm wondering if you just kind of play it more casual. I don't know.
Yeah,
That's why I kept thinking leading up to it, I thought that Kang was, I didn't think we were going to see Kang ever. Because it's weird to drop a brand new villain who's a big villain. I mean, huge villain, bro, Kang.
Yeah.
In the last episode, even though they led up to it, like you said, they led up to a God King Loki as well. That would be at the end.
I just feel like.
But yeah, the
ending this awesome series or season with that episode was just a little anticlimactic.
Well, you know what's cool too, though, is that we are getting a season two.
Yeah, that's awesome. That made me happy. That made me happy.
Big news, bro.
That was confirmed in a mid-credits quick scene.
Yeah.
If they ended it, like, the whole series with that, I would have been a little bit less happy.
Yeah.
But, the fact that there's a season two.
Season two is cool, yeah.
They closed a lot of things off, but, you know, obviously left some things open.
Yeah,
So,
dude. What's Loki?
It was just Kang. It was just them talking to Kang the whole time. I'm sure all the listeners have seen it weeks ago or whatever.
Yeah, that was basically it. And Sylvie, Sylvie wanting to kill him, and you know him talking about not killing him, and so that was pretty much.
Lightning McQueen was amazing, as per usual, bro.
Per
usual. I need a side series of him, bro, because he was just a good character, dude.
I thought Jonathan Majors was, with all the dialogue that he had to go through for this one episode, I think he did it.
He's a
super good, bro. Excellent.
His performance was a bit jarring, but I warmed up to it.
Yeah, because at first I was like,
I thought so too.
Weird, and but it was cool, man.
Because a dude that's been around for that long, is that how he's gonna talk with those kind of mannerisms? I don't know.
Maybe,
yeah. And that's,
who knows?
I was like,
I don't know.
You can take two routes with that.
Well,
you can take a very closed route where he's just like kind of serious and by the books, or you could take the route where he's lived a million lifetimes and he's just a lunatic now. He's just like, I'm actually a lunatic and I'm crazy with boredom.
Plus, think about it. I mean, in this episode, we saw the end of time. This is the last thing that he knows is going to happen. So I imagine he's like willing to act up a little bit more for this scenario.
I think it would have been interesting if he was bored. He was just like, whatever. And they had that a little bit. But he was just he was super extra at first. So it was really jarring. I was like, whoa, what the heck is up with this guy? But I think him in general, though, like in the future, when he's like Kang the Conqueror, the villain, is going to be, I think that performance is amazing.
Yeah.
I think he will be an awesome villain, but it was really weird for out of nowhere. I'm just not used to the character.
The whole thing was all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Literally elevator door beep.
Yeah.
And then he's there, and it's like, oh, gee, all right, buckle up. And it's this wild performance.
There was one part of it where he basically offers for the Lokis to run the time stuff. And it reminded me of, like, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory of, like, well, you guys survived the tour, and so this is how we promote.
that's kind of dope.
You guys made it till the very end, so here you go.
That is cool.
I
like the dilemma that they...
Yeah, that was cool.
At the beginning?
I like the twist that he was a good guy. I like that.
Kang gave them...
Oh,
me too.
Ahead.
where he was like, you can either take over the TVA. This is the best way to do it. Trust me, bro. Like, I've lived every life. Mm-hmm. Or you could kill me, and evil me's, all of them, will come at you. And try and murder you.
And he was like,
and F up everything. And multiverse war.
I like how he was like, it's up to you, bro. I don't care.
Yeah. Like, he's like, I don't care. Yeah. And he was really like, yeah, dude. And he didn't like, care. When he, spoiler, 2 weeks later, when he died.
Whenever he was
killed. He didn't care. Yeah.
And guess what? He was the good guy the whole time.
Yeah. It's cool that the villain won, also. The villain... Evil Kang's got the way.
I don't know who the villain was. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was weird. Like,
Sylvie's the real villain.
I guess they kind of set it up the whole season just showing that she was really bent on getting that revenge no matter what.
Yeah.
And in the very end, even if you hope that she doesn't and there's reason she shouldn't, she still did.
Yeah.
But, yeah, pretty cool. And it was also cool going back a little bit how during all the exposition dump, they used those little... I don't know what you would call them, nanobot statues to sort of like tell the history.
Yeah.
And they kind of went into the history of the multiversal war, I think is what they called it. So that was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. You know, discovering universes stacked on each other.
Yeah.
And then going into how not all Kangs are good and whatnot. But yeah, a lot of exposition. But overall, it came down to, hey, if you kill me, bad stuff's going to happen. And that's what happened.
I think a good cliffhanger.
Yeah,
I think what I liked about this most was just that it is like everything from here is gonna get nuts.
Yeah.
They did it. They killed Kang, and the multiverse is open, and you can see it spreading. I was like, dude,
Marvel,
like, it's just bold and awesome.
Because what other route do you take if you're Marvel? Like, this is the best. This is the most ideal. Like route to take
this is probably the most difficult route,
because think about like
anything difficult to do,
but think about if they just had like Galactus and he's the big bad and it's just Thanos again. They're really going out there with this one, bro. And like they're putting a lot of trust in the casuals, dude.
Yeah, dude. Imagine that like pitch, bro. All right, listen, Loki is gonna go on this crazy adventure. At the end, the multiverse is opened up and Kang is unleashed.
But they've slowly...
And you can do whatever you want with Doctor Strange or whatever.
They've slowly built up to this wild stuff, and it's awesome that they're finally doing the weird stuff of Marvel. I like
that. Do you think that Kang is gonna meet with, like, Wanda and, like, take over her mind, and she's gonna be like his right hand man?
That'd be cool. I was thinking
if she's the villain of Doctor Strange, maybe like if they connect it like that, that would be cool.
I was thinking he might mess around with some Thanos stuff. I know bringing back Thanos would be, but it'd be cool if he
was
like,
insane, bro.
Well, he can time travel. He can do whatever he wants. I mean, there's just a lot of routes they could take this with Kang. But yeah, that would be cool too if he just right hand man was Wanda, who is probably the best villain in Marvel history.
Yeah, but it's super. The MCU is just so exciting.
Yeah.
Right now, like, it's about to get nuts. It's already nuts.
This with Doctor Doom, it's like the era of villains for the Marvel universe.
Well, because, dude, once they get Fantastic Four in there, bro, that's when you start bringing in Doctor Doom, that's when you start bringing in Galactus.
Yeah.
Then after that, get some X-Men in. That's when you start getting Magneto and all that.
Yeah.
It's nuts, dude. If they
villains
pull,
are taking off.
It's crazy.
Because the Avengers only had one good villain, bro. And that was Thanos and Loki?
I mean, Loki was pretty
Loki.
Good, I think. Yeah,
Loki was
the star of the show.
Yeah. But when he was a villain, he was pretty lame. He was kind of...
Yeah.
Just a villain to be a villain. Yeah. But they weren't going out there, which is fine. It's all fine, but I'm super happy to see them going the weird route and taking and now
I'm
it's villains are the good, like, really good characters now.
I'm happy to see them going the weirdest route possible. And I love it. So it's awesome. Cuz this is what I want to see out of the MCU. I mean, and it's not fair to compare like Falcon Winter Soldier and Scarlet Witch and stuff like we were talking about. Because I just prefer the weird stuff, dude.
Yeah,
and the magic. And we're getting all of it, man. It's awesome. So it's super exciting. But yeah,
see you season two, Loki.
It's cool.
Glad Hiddleston is remaining in the mix.
For sure. Yeah, dude.
It's a shame.
It is forever. He loves.
It's a shame that the Broccoli's or whoever running the James Bond series, it's a shame they don't realize that that guy is probably the guy you want to lock down.
He'd be really good.
Yeah, dude, because how old is he even? He's still young, so you could lock him in for at least three or four movies. What are you doing, James Bond
people?
They
should do that, dude. They should do that.
I mean, if they're not going to give us...
They're not doing Henry Cavill, bro. Like.
And if they're not going to give us the Idris Elba 007, which granted, he's older, so you would only probably get one or two out of him. But dang, dude, Hiddleston seems like... I know, James, I know you're trying to pitch Tom Holland, but I don't think that's going to work.
No.
I think it's a little early.
Tom Holland's got a little early,
bro. More growing to do as well, bro.
Yeah, he'd be 5'6".
James, I know you want him, but he'd be one of the worst James Bonds.
Boy.
Listen here.
I guess we'll see how Uncharted goes.
Yeah,
that's
the test.
Wild.
That's a test.
Hey,
for Tom.
That's a huge movie for Tom Holland,
dude. That's
basically playing Indiana Jones. So we'll see where that goes. Okay.
A little younger, but still Indy.
Perfect.
That's no excuse, bro. No.
All right, we ready for this time warp?
I think we are.
I'm ready. I guess.
Time warp again. Why do you say you guess?
This one's just tough, man.
It was a tough time, bro.
All right.
I'll tell you why. It's because, never mind.
It is the Time Warp movie battle where we
take... Actually, yeah, let's talk about it.
Where we take two different years. Hello, testing 1, 2, 3. We take 2 years randomly between 1970 and 2019 based on the month we are recording in. So we do this throughout the year. We pick a new release from each of those years. We decide which one movie would we like to watch if we traveled back in time. We pit those movies together. The winner goes on. We actually just finished our mid-year sort of first round tournament type thing. Each of us has a couple of years in the mix that we're betting on, as well as decades we're betting on. So this round, we have 1988's Die Hard versus 1986's Aliens. As Blue Milk alluded to, this may be the toughest matchup we've had outside of second round stuff. Agreed?
Yeah.
Or disagree?
Yes.
Agreed, maybe.
Although Infinity War and Endgame, we had those two. That was pretty tough.
Yeah, that was tough.
Although,
but this one's tougher.
I think
we have two actually perfect movies.
More difficult for me, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, okay.
What
do you guys
think about Die Hard?
All right, let's talk about Die Hard, because, dude.
Yeah, Die Hard's perfect.
I've been telling you, Blue Milk, for a while now, that Die Hard
top
is
top five favorite
goated,
movie of all
what?
Time now. Yeah, hands down.
When was last time you watched this movie?
It's been
never,
years.
Bro.
It's
yeah.
been like 5 years.
Oh, so it
I've
was almost like
Blue
brand
years,
new
dude.
For you.
Oh, my God. It was intense, bro.
Oh.
I knew what was going to happen, of course. I know the main beats, but.
Yeah.
How awesome.
Oh, my God, dude.
Bro,
like the scene when
two,
when he was jumping off the building and then he was getting pulled out the window was. My heart was racing. I knew he was going to live, but I was like, oh, my God. God, dude!
Yeah.
Imagine watching this movie for the first time. Dude.
Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
Like I am, bro.
Like I am. Imagine being me right now.
I've seen it like
it's amazing.
I've seen it, like,
imagine my feelings world.
I've seen it like 4 or 5 times total. So, but it's those were in the early days of my life. So
dude,
this
Die
is
Hard
crazy.
Is a yearly watch for me, bro. Oh man,
yeah,
it's crazy good. And dude, both McClane, bro. Bruce Willis and old boy as
no, just,
old
not
boy.
Just them, dude. Not
like,
just
everyone's
Rick,
good, but
not
dude,
just
those
Rickman
two stand
and,
out, bro.
And not Hans Gruber and McClane, Rickman and
yeah, Gruber.
Whatever, but everybody was awesome, bro. Like I like the cock character. I like the tech
the one,
guy.
The
I like
the
two brothers.
What about
the
Ellis?
The stockbroker.
Yeah,
Ellis.
Yeah,
Ellis was awesome.
Hans Bubby.
Yeah.
What about Argyle, the limousine driver?
Oh, he was great, dude.
Yeah, man.
Even the wife was cool. I like
was awesome.
Wife was cool.
I liked everything about this movie.
Everything about it.
The other thing I noted, like toward the beginning of the movie, is the music really sets the tone, the setting. Like it's like dramatic music. What else?
Yeah, man.
Hans Gruber, Hans bleeping
dude,
Gruber,
Hans,
like
bro.
Maybe one of the top, or definitely
dude,
one of the
Hans,
top.
Hans is a line, bro.
McClane was wild.
Dude, Hans has a line where it's after they take in, I forget what his name is, dude, but the Asian dude, he's like the boss or whatever.
Mr. Tagaki? Tagaki.
Tagaki. Yeah, they take him in and kill him, bro. Like, and when Hans comes out and is like, Mr. Tagaki will not be joining us for the rest of his life.
Oh, dude.
Like, dude, this is
dude,
gold.
Dude, some
bro.
Of the lines, a lot amazing. Of the lines were gold, dude.
Yeah, yeah. This
like,
is
a lot
of
the lines were good,
yeah.
bro.
yeah.
All of them, maybe.
there is.
Like, there was nothing. Everyone. Like, usually there's a couple in there. Like, in Speed, bro, yeah. there were a couple where I was like, ah, those are misses. But even all the one-liners, all the quips were next level.
Well,
dude.
And before that scene, when he had Takagi, I think it was Takagi, and he's like counting to three, and Takagi's like, "You're just gonna have to kill me," and he says, "Okay," and shoots him right there.
Shoots him Boom. Straight up.
Bang! Yeah. Got him.
I'll count to three, or there will not be a four.
There will
not
be a four.
Oh my god, dude!
Ever, dude. It's so cool.
So,
oh,
dude. Do you believe that, or would you believe it that this was Alan Rickman's first film role?
Dude, there's
or at least his first
no
major
way,
one.
Bro. He's basically good.
It was his first major
his
one.
First
I think
ever.
He was in a lot of television before this, and this was his
That's
first
crazy,
at least
bro.
Major.
He
one.
Was
yeah.
great.
First off,
dude.
Alan Rickman is a legend in general, bro. But this is his first movie. That's nuts. That's crazy.
He was also great. He was great
resume,
as Snape
bro.
Too.
Dude,
he was
yeah,
great.
Yeah,
as, he was like one of the best parts of that whole series,
great, bro. He's the best part of that whole series. He's literally Snape, dude.
You think?
Probably. I think so. Yeah.
A lot of people say
Straight
that.
Up.
Yeah.
Especially when the movies get like dark and desaturated.
Yeah, like Half-Blood Prince
style.
Area.
Yeah.
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 Unless
when they
we
get
forget.
To the Half-Blood Prince after Goblet of Fire.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. Anyways,
unless we
yeah,
forget,
Rickman,
Rickman was also in Kevin Smith's Dogma as an angel or something.
Oh
yeah,
he
was.
He was a guardian angel, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. He has a name.
Yeah. Yeah. It escapes me right now.
But yeah, he's an angel.
Anyways. Die Hard, man.
I also like another
having real quick, bro. I can't. That still blows my mind. Having this be your first movie, that's like when Magic won Finals MVP in his rookie year, dude. Like, oh, what a start!
Yeah, here we go.
Yo, buckle up for this kid, dude. His career is gonna be nuts.
Going back to some of those characters too, I like the Deputy Chief Dwayne T. Robinson was cool, and of course the FBI
awesome.
Agents Johnson and
who are you?
Johnson.
We're the FBI. We'll take
Johnson and Johnson.
Yeah, no,
not related.
No relation.
yeah,
no relation. Yeah, that's amazing.
So,
dude, I think, dude, I wish I wrote down some of McClane's lines.
Me
bro.
Too, dude.
There's one that was really good, but. Guy slips me right now.
Well, I know he was talking about after the explosion outside that McClane caused, and Robinson was saying all our guys are covered in glass, and McClane's like, glass? Who gives a
yeah.
shit about
oh,
glass?
Yeah.
glass.
Yeah. So,
oh, man. Awesome. Oh, dude, speaking of glass, bro.
Oh, yeah.
McClane goes through it, dude, in this movie.
It's worse. It's worse than I remember.
And, yeah, bro, this... Yeah, when Alan Rickman, the genius Hans Gruber, figures out, shoot the glass. He's
shoot
got no
the
shoes
glass
for some reason.
He's got shoes. I don't know why.
So shoot the glass, and then McClane having to pick out glass from his feet in a sink, dude, is so nasty. But like,
dude,
McClane is just go, dude.
The fact that this was not only maybe the best action movie ever, but it also had McClane and and Hans Gruber like trying to one up each other on the radio the whole time. Yeah. That was so cool. Good,
having them
bro.
Be on comms with each other is genius.
And they're both like, "Oh, I know more about you." "Oh, no, actually, I know more about you." And it was just back and forth. That was amazing. Yeah, and that added another element, bro, that not a lot of movies have.
Yeah, dude. And then that conversation that they were having when Hans got caught by McClain, but then Hans Gruber put on an American accent and started acting like a victim.
That was crazy.
He's genius, dude. I was like, yo, this is crazy. Like, this is amazing. Dude,
and as the audience, this whole time, they haven't met, like, at all. And it's like, what? Yeah. This is how they... And, of course, Hans is a genius, and they have a smoke together, which is crazy, too.
The mind games that Hans plays, bro, is nuts. Cause even
same with McClane, bro.
Earlier, when Hans is giving out demands, bro, to the
cops, yeah.
He's like, free these people in Russia, free these people in Japan, like, all these criminals, blah, blah, blah.
It's a waste of time.
And then one of them is like, who are they? He's like, I don't know. I read them in a magazine.
It's
like,
just a waste of time.
Complete control over the situation, bro. Yeah. Hans, dude. But yeah. And then, real quick, let me ask you this, Blue Milk, for a first-time viewer of Die Hard. Is this the best Christmas movie of all time?
Yeah.
No.
So you say it's a Christmas movie?
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay, cool. I agree.
But best Christmas movie? No. Thing. I don't know if
best
that
Christmas
it is
movie,
best.
Best Christmas movie? No.
It's my favorite for sure. And I think it's the best.
It's the best movie in the Christmas genre, like, movie, but it's not the best Christmas movie, if that makes sense. Like, Elf is the best Christmas movie.
That's also debatable.
Nightmare Before
However,
Christmas.
It sounds like another episode.
Nightmare Before Christmas, but
Nightmare
Die
Before
Hard
Christmas
like,
might be a Halloween movie.
It's both.
Yeah.
It's
what's a better
Easter, St. Patrick's.
What's a better thing of their thing? Is Die Hard a better Christmas movie, or is Nightmare Before Christmas a better Halloween movie? Discuss.
Well,
but anyway,
Die Hard.
Nightmare Before Christmas is the best movie, maybe.
Dude, ho ho ho.
Sometimes.
I have a machine gun now, ho ho ho, or whatever.
Thanks for the machine gun or whatever.
So
yeah.
McClane also runs into Carl. Which is which that was a cool character too.
Carl was a tank, bro.
He was rough, man.
Carl's a tank.
Well, he lost his brother. You know that affected him pretty badly.
Yeah, but he got hung by a chain and still lived. He's a beast.
That man got put through. went on. Yeah, dude. And that fool would walk through glass in his bare feet and not flinch, bro.
The scene in the vent was so good, dude.
Yeah, dude. And then the scene where McClane has to, like, go from, like, the top area by the roof, I think, down, like, a couple levels through the fence.
Oh, yeah, using the machine gun.
He goes to, like,
gun.
An elevator shaft or whatever, and uses the machine gun to hang out, bro. And then he, like, jumps to the other side, misses the top thing, and then grabs one at the bottom. That wasn't planned, dude. The stunt guy was supposed to hit that top one, and then naturally fell, and it was just like...
No way.
What a perfect moment, dude. What a perfect blooper to put in the movie. Yeah,
I like how this is just
having him hang on the MP5 is crazy, dude. That's so suspenseful. Like,
there's a lot of suspense.
Man. Happy Trails Hans is a good line to end the movie, too. Happy Trails Hans.
Happy Trails Hans is the best line. I quote that line the most, surprisingly.
Happy Trails Hans. That's
not
a good one.
Not Yippee-ki-yay, it's Happy Trails Hans.
Yeah. Yippee-ki-yay is pretty good, though.
Thanks for the advice when he says, you should, the next time you have an opportunity to shoot someone, you better do it.
Yeah.
Bang, bang, bang. Thanks for the advice. Yeah.
Goat.
But anyway.
Goat.
All right.
Goat, dude.
Yeah, a lot of love for Die Hard.
Die Hard gets a lot of love.
This was nominated for Best Effects, Sound Editing, and Sound Effects. I don't know if it won any of those. All I have written down here is that
not
it was
Best
nominated,
Picture, bro?
But not Best Picture. This was directed by John McTiernan, who you may know better as the director of Predator, which he did the year before. So...
The year before, bro?
That's
he had
right.
Predator and Die Hard back to back?
Oh, yeah, the year before. So I know we've talked about this before. Yes, we talked about this before. The directors, they're two back to back that they've had back to back. The greatest back to backs from a director of all time. Holy cow. Predator followed by Die Hard.
Yeah, no, that's the best one probably.
I mean, I know we've talked about other ones, but holy cow, that's a fire. Bomb to drop in.
I think this is the line that I was forgetting. Does it sound like I'm ordering a pizza?
Oh, yeah.
So good, bro.
Sir, this is reserved for emergencies only. Yeah, no F and she, lady. Do I sound like I'm ordering a pizza?
That's so funny, dude. Yeah, man. Yeah, and the cops being stupid, dude. Oh,
that's a good one.
But yeah, man.
I mean, it was pretty wild. Anything wrong with this movie? You guys are throwing a lot of love on it. No. Anything not hold up? Besides surviving a hanging by chains, but those chains that he was hanging by may have been like the softer variety.
Flimsy,
yeah, totally soft chains.
They could have been looser. Hey, and plus the technique that McClane used, maybe he's quicker with it.
There could have been a side story.
A little loosey-goosey a little bit, too.
Yeah, we don't know the side story of Carl and how he trained to survive hangings when he was in whatever militia he was in.
He's like, yeah. So he, like, can last longer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if had we known,
he, like, trained himself.
Yeah, we would have known that.
He's like, I will be put in this situation
exactly
many times, Hans.
And then,
don't
and
worry.
Then, yeah.
And then, like, yeah.
So anyway, all right. Should we move on?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, good luck. Other movie, but
Aliens.
Luckily, this movie may have a chance here. 1986's Aliens, directed by James Cameron.
Jim Cameron,
absolutely.
1986,
absolutely.
Yeah, man.
Also
GOAT.
Also the sequel to...
Yeah, also perfect.
Sequel to Alien.
To an earlier Time Warp movie winner, by the way, let alone...
A couple wins under Alien.
Alien
apostrophe S's belt.
Yeah, don't get me started on that. But anyway, so we...
Pretty effing unappreciated Al. That was a good line. I was looking for those lines because I was like, God, some of them were so good. Continue, Aliens.
So, yeah, we get some of the fallout from the first movie. We're like 56 years later, I think it said something about they were in hibernation.
Nuts. That's a crazy idea in general.
Which that's a cool idea.
Put that out there.
But also, I just like the fallout from the first movie talking about the amount of money that was lost from her blowing up the ship.
Yeah.
Like, you know, real, like things that real world corporations
would deal
with.
Dude, I think we were talking about that. Yeah. I think we were talking about that when we were talking about Alien. We're like, dude, she blew up 200 trillion tons or whatever of whatever ore they mined just now. Like
exactly.
It said, oh, ton. Yeah, man.
So, and then...
She just bombed it.
And then the signal was lost on LV-426, so they talk about going back and... because there's a civilization that's starting there, right? Some people that are starting there, so...
Yeah.
Anyway, let's see, what else? Space Marines are sent out. It was slower than I remember. I will say that.
Me too. Did we watch the special edition or whatever?
We also
did
may
watch
have watched the director's cut. Yeah,
I think we did. Because there was some stuff with Newt and her family.
That's right.
Definitely
not in the original.
Yeah, that's
That's definitely not in the original. So, the director's cut is a little. Watch the regular one. That's the better version. But
watch the regular one, indeed.
Still goat though.
So speaking of great characters, we got our beloved Space Marines. Hicks,
so good,
dude.
Hudson,
goats, bro.
Vasquez,
yeah, man,
just to name
good.
A few.
So awesome, dude.
What's
all
the AI guy's name? He was good too, bro.
Dude,
I
like
them all.
Vincent or something, bro.
Ripley
Bishop,
was good.
Bishop,
Bishop, Bishop. Duh, jeez.
Yeah, Vincent.
<Of course>.
Yeah, Vincent.
Was
Vincent
dope.
Was also cool.
Yeah, Ripley's next level in this one, dude.
Yeah, she's different.
She was already cool, bro. Yeah. She's already the coolest ever.
This one's her better. This is better than
well,
the first
yeah,
one.
Yeah, dude.
Did you know that she was actually nominated for Best Actress for this movie?
Whoa.
Yeah.
I didn't, but
that's
awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah,
that's
yeah isn't
cool.
it? Yeah, I forgot about that, and I looked at it, and I was like, oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, she should be.
Yeah. Deserved, bro.
Yeah, well, she did not win, but she was nominated, and I feel like that's a win unto itself. She won. You know? She lost to somebody named Marley Matlin, who is deaf, and she was like played a deaf person in a movie, and I forget the movie. It's very dramatic.
Probably amazing.
Probably one of those performances.
Probably an amazing performance.
I mean, plus this is a horror movie.
Or
an action
movie.
Either way, they're lucky to get the nomination.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But then, of course, like a lot of our other contenders, it did win for visual effects and sound effects. We have a lot of movies that are at least nominated or have won those types of awards.
Yeah. Dude, if it didn't win best effects or whatever, that would have been a dumpster fire of an Oscars.
Yeah.
It did win. Good.
But
that would have been the biggest tragedy in history.
So yeah, we got
in Oscar's history.
Great characters: Hudson, Bill Paxton, Game Over Man. They're, speaking of quotable
game
lines,
Game Over Man.
Yeah.
Game Over.
He was pretty.
I quote that a lot.
He was better than just that line.
Yes. I was gonna say the same thing.
He's a great character,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, man.
And then you had Vasquez and the guy that she always high fived. Like they're always high fiving.
Oh yeah.
They're always talking about how bad Vasquez was and following it up with a quick high five. But anyway,
they were all bad A.
They were. Dude, what about the scene where they were inside and they figured out that they couldn't use bullets? Dude, that was crazy, dude.
Yeah, man. Oh. That's such a crazy... And then they had to, like, hand in their magazines, bro.
Yeah. Oh, dude, captain Vasquez, or whatever. What's his name?
Was it Hicks, maybe?
Maybe.
The lieutenant? You're talking about the young guy, the lieutenant.
I'm talking about the... what's his name? I'll find him.
Was he the guy on the...
He was their leader.
Or whatever,
he was their, like, the commander, bro. Like, he was, like...
The black dude, right?
Yeah,
like from Halo. I made that comparison. I was like, hey, that's like old boy from Halo.
I don't know. He was cool too. I like him all. Cool. Yeah, he was really cool. The one smoking or chewing on the cigar the whole
Sergeant
time.
Apone. Sarge. Oh, no, yeah, just Sarge.
Yeah, I think he didn't.
Sarge,
he went kind of early.
Yeah, he wasn't in it.
But he was still cool.
For sure,
he was still cool. They all had their moments. That's what it felt like.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Dude, how many times, because I'm just thinking back to that scene where they had to hand in their magazine, their clips and all that. How many times throughout this movie do you think there's a hidden xenomorph that you can, like, see?
Because
I feel
like
they could be all over the place in
It definitely felt
scenes.
Like they
utilized They could have
that.
Been.
I think they definitely could have been, and they're probably
But I've watched the movie hella, bro. Yeah. And I always look, and I can only find that one where he ends up moving.
I forgot to look. But
I thought there were a couple times where it moved in the background. I don't know. There was at least one, but every time I see it, it's like super effective, super awesome. Yeah.
It's like crazy.
Yeah,
every time.
Yeah. It's just so
super cool.
Yeah. The other thing that's super effective at building suspense are those radar machines that they have where they see the dots,
the sensors.
Yeah, the sensors where they can see the individual aliens coming at them, and they should be in here. They should be right here. Just waiting for them.
That's so iconic, bro. Yeah. Iconic. Yeah, that's crazy, dude. Especially the scene where. Yeah, you see, like, the horde, and they're in the door, man. and then they look up in the ceiling, and there's just a ton of them. A bunch, dude.
Yeah.
It's the coolest ever. Yeah, man.
The first encounter. Oh, yeah. You know, just kind of the whole motion of the Marines getting down, like, dropping down onto the planet was kind of cool. Hey, how many drops have you made, Lieutenant? 5 all simulated or something like that.
Yeah.
All simulated.
Yeah.
But that was kind of cool just kind of feeling that, like, wow, they're like having to do some crazy stuff just to get on the planet.
It's pretty suspenseful, brah, from the beginning, dude, because you also, it just in general, like, you get that scene where, I don't know if it's Paxton or whatever, but Bishop does the knife thing on one of the Marines. That's like still the knife game. Like whoa, the knife game. That's carried throughout the whole movie, bro. Like nuts to butts, dude, on the suspense with this movie.
Nuts to butts on the suspense, quote unquote, headless chicken. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're
quote me on that.
Their first encounter, they of course get their aces handed to them. Hicks and Ripley both want to take off and nuke it from orbit, which is cool. I was like, yeah, that's a good idea, man.
Yeah, probably. But of course,
Ripley talking smart always.
Of course, their escape ship is destroyed, and they got to hunker down in an outpost. What else? I don't know.
Everything with Newt is pretty good, I think. The stuff that's not the regular stuff, not the director's cut stuff.
Yeah, Newt's cool in the regular one.
Newt's pretty cool. That it's cool to have that, like,
yeah, that
and it's
element,
cool that she survives and is like knows her way around.
The element of like a girl in
the little,
this
a little
world.
Kid,
yeah, a little kid surviving, using the cool. air ducts and things like that.
Yeah,
another thing about Hudson that we kind of touched on, I love him just freaking out about stuff. Yeah. And then I like how Ripley like got him together at the end. He said something like, "Hey Hudson, she said you need to get it together because we need you, and I'm sick of your BS."
Yeah.
So I thought
Ripley
that was
does not. Cool. Yeah, man, she's harsh if she needs to be. Rightfully so with these Marines. I mean, they're used to it, but it's awesome seeing it from her because she, you know, what's cool is she's just like supposed to be there to help them.
Yeah,
and she once again she takes control of the situation, and by the end has to fight off a bloody xenomorph by herself, or almost by herself,
practically. But a couple other things. It was kind of cool, those sentry guns that they had set up, and then how they ran out of bullets. That was pretty sweet.
Yeah, dude. That was awesome,
that whole
bro.
Feeling of, you know, just having it. To watch your ammunition too is kind of a cool thing to use to build suspense.
That's so cool.
The facehugger scene was creepy.
Is that
as always?
Yeah.
The scene where they were locked in the room with the
facehugger.
Yeah.
That's a creepy scene.
Yeah. Dude, and then there's a couple facehuggers, right? And then, like, I forget which Marine does it, but pushes one of them up against the wall with, like, a cart and unloads on it, dude. Just destroys the whole clip, bro. Goes out on it. It's amazing.
Hudson, I think it is.
I think it's Hudson.
Or maybe Hicks. I don't know.
Which one's Hicks, bro? Is Hicks the goofy one that, like...
Hicks
game
was
game over, man.
No, that's Hudson, I think.
That's Hudson.
Okay, Hicks is awesome.
Hicks is awesome.
I think Hicks is way cooler than he's like a character that I never remember. And then
but
when I watch
cool.
it, I'm like, wow,
yeah,
Hicks is so cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Terminator's sure. Michael Biehn, by the way. I'll have you know.
Yeah.
So,
come with me if you want to live.
Exactly.
Come with me if you
want to
live.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
But yeah, man, pretty cool.
Pretty great.
Yeah,
movie.
And then that final sequence, dude.
They mostly come out at night. Mostly.
Classic one-liners.
Yeah,
galore.
One-liners all day. But yeah, that,
they both
that final...
both the movies had the same, I don't know, vibe.
They did.
They weren't the same movie. They weren't
cool
the same
action.
Movie, obviously. Yeah. But you know, you had the one-liners. They both felt really late 80s. You know,
two of the coolest protagonists ever.
Yeah,
and two of the coolest villains ever.
That's why it was so hard, bro. Because I was like, they're very similar, and I love them both for the same exact reasons.
That everything with the Queen Alien is so cool.
Yeah, Queen Alien,
especially
because
it's '86. It's real, bro. They made that too.
Yeah.
So just like everything in the first Alien as well, except Queen Alien giving birth to eggs, bro, is real. They had that.
Their budget went up. It had to have for this movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, dude.
The budget, because
dude, they have
triple,
the whole
triple. Maybe.
They have a whole battle, bro, with the Queen Alien, and you can tell. I don't know how they, and I'm curious how they did that final battle with the Queen Alien. Because besides some of the wide shots, maybe you can use, like, a puppet on a miniature or something. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
But when she's, like, up against with the armor that Ripley's in or whatever, like, it's just fascinating. You know? I'm like,
Ripley,
I don't know how they did that.
Ultimate bad A in the armor, that was awesome, too.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, man. And then
she's like, "All right, I guess I have to fight it."
Which is cool. Like, I like how the queen. All right. I like how the queen alien also uses the elevator, like normal. Oh, yeah. Like yeah.
They're smart, knows, bro.
It's like this one.
They're smart.
Dang, yeah. Smart. Yeah. And then yeah, super dude. Smart. And so the elevator doors open, and there's a goddamn queen alien, yeah. Bro.
Crawling feet tall. Out like
yeah, crawling out like that. Yeah, lanky dude. Yeah, man, it's cool.
Yeah, I like the bishop going through the tunnel was claustrophobic.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was.
And that then, was
true.
I thought that was pretty interesting how both of these movies had scenes like that.
That scene.
Yeah.
And you know what they said, bro? You know what they said for Bishop, dude? It was like 300 yards, dude. It was like 3 football.
It was far.
Of
you
that?
Had to go far.
It yeah. was. I like remember it being like super far. Like yeah. making a point. Like that's far, dude. Even I know he's an android, but damn.
He was fine with it, of course.
Yeah, man.
He's a beast.
And then talk about beast, bro. Ripley taking. Ripley's. I think she holds her arm around a bar like this, like the bar's inside.
Oh yeah,
taking the full force of space, dude. Just her arm, bro, survives. Because in the first movie, she was like strapped down.
Yeah,
in the suit, you know.
Ripley's a beast in this
going,
one.
Going raw, bro. Easy, dude. And the queen alien goes out, man. It's cool.
Yeah,
dude.
I loved
this
it all.
Movie's. This movie's so fun. Both of these movies are so fun, dude. You're right. Like, it's. They're really similar, but really different. But it's like. It's crazy, dude.
You love them both for the same reasons.
Yeah, man.
So, what criteria do you use to determine who wins in this?
I did a coin flip. And
did you?
I got Die Hard, and I still don't know if I'm choosing that. I don't feel right
for you right now,
it.
Bro. If you want doubles,
no, because I'm like, even when if I rolled aliens, I still probably would have been like, nah, I don't know, yeah, dude.
You can't come.
You would be like, you
only use the coin flip to decide if you agree with the coin. That's really what it is. So it coming up, Die Hard.
I would disagree. You know. I would have disagreed either way.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was gonna say because you can't leave it.
I
to
don't
a
know,
coin
man.
Flip.
Coin flip sounds pretty. Pretty good right
no,
now.
No, you can't leave it to a coin up. Flip.
True.
Not even
Jaws
got
an alien,
a coin flip.
I can do this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You made that bad decision. You can make this bad decision.
I got aliens.
Ouch. Dang, just like Bruce that.
Sure? Yeah, I gotta go with my gut, bro. Even
because I'm still not sure.
They're both in my like top 10 favorite movies ever now. And well, Aliens always has, but now Die Hard's in there too. Die Hard is... These two movies might be top five, bro. They might make up half of my top four, honestly.
The other thing I want to point out, just to add on to the fact that this is such a close matchup, is that I believe this is correct, that just as with John McTiernan, James Cameron...
Oh man!
This was his follow-up.
God.
This was his follow-up to the original Terminator 2 years
Jeez.
Prior. So he did Terminator, bro. And then followed up with Aliens. So
what's better? Quick, okay, what's better, T2 or Predator?
Well, I don't know.
You mean T1
that's another matchup.
T1 or Predator?
Yeah, that's T1, not T2. T1.
What did
he
do?
Didn't make T2? Who made T2?
He did.
Was,
yeah, he did.
He did.
Just later.
That was in 1990.
Yeah, just,
oh, well,
yeah,
then,
just
yeah,
later,
then this is it.
I'm just pointing out that he did Terminator this back to back, so kind
of
interesting.
Off the top of your head, do you know what he did after Aliens?
I believe he did the Abyss.
Okay,
in between,
yeah.
So, anyway,
because that would have been great.
But
T2,
of course.
Aliens,
oh yeah,
or T1, Aliens. T2.
That would have done it for him. Yeah, but you know he slipped
goat.
In.
He's the goat if he
but
does
still,
that.
But still, again, just the back to backs, man. One day we will make that gargantuan list of nominees.
Yeah.
And it'll be amazing. Yeah, but anyway.
I'm going to Aliens.
You're going with Rooster because I'm still on the fence, man. I like Die Hard.
Okay,
a lot.
So I'm a little on the fence too. I will say that going in, I thought maybe Die Hard would have a chance. But then again, then watching Aliens, I was like, dang, but this is really good. So
dude, the Xenomorph is such a cool villain.
I know
Hans Gruber is great, but
all the
yeah, dude,
they're both
the
so
coolest.
Good.
Xenomorph might be the coolest villain ever, bro.
So I will do this.
Dude, I want to see a Xenomorph versus everything.
I will.
By the way, that's how cool it is.
I am gonna go with if you told me which one. I have to go this far into my criteria of if I had to watch one right now, which one would I want to watch, and I would pick Die Hard. So
I would too.
I will say Die Hard, but you might not have to get to that criteria.
I'm not doing that criteria.
I had to get to that criteria.
So you're picking Die Hard. So God damn it.
This is what you... Hey, you could have jumped in and just answered.
Yeah, well, but I don't know.
I was initially. That's how close it was. And I don't begrudge you if you do pick Aliens.
I don't care if you pick Die Hard, bro.
I don't want to say my gut is Die Hard, because it's not my gut, but Die Hard is like... I've seen Die Hard more in my life. Really? For sure. And I think Die Hard... I think I might prefer Die Hard.
You gotta start working Aliens in more, bro.
I've been talking Die Hard for many years to Blue Milk. I don't know. But then rewatching, like you said, rewatching Aliens, it's like the coolest.
This is really
the best movie ever. Dude, anytime I watch Aliens, it's my favorite movie ever.
And, dude, you know what's weird is that with Aliens, bro, and like some of the other early James Cameron stuff, I'm like, bro, this is so good that Avatar might not be that bad, bro. Like, give it to him, because this is Jim Cameron deserves it after James this. Cameron.
James, are you influenced by the fact that Aliens and its original Alien is still alive, and so does
could
that
face each other?
Does that influence
I didn't
you
think
in
about
your,
that
in your
that'd
judging?
Be well, awesome.
I didn't. That's not, but the fact that Aliens, or the alien, is alive makes me think Aliens is, because I like Aliens more than Alien, and that'd be Jaws.
Yeah. So, in a controversial win, might I add.
Oh God.
Go
I
listen
hate
to
it.
That episode.
I kind of hate it. I don't hate it. I think I'm going to go with Aliens. I don't think I can pick Die Hard after Alien. So I'm going to go with Aliens. Xenomorph is taking all of my money this year, dude.
That's a tough one. That hurts.
That's a tough one. But that hurts me because I think I like Die Hard maybe more sometimes a lot. But then it's close. I think I'm going to go with Aliens, though. I'm confident with that.
I like how you instantly a little bit regret the decision of this.
No, but I would have felt the same if I chose Die Hard.
I regret choosing Aliens. I would regret it either way. No, I would.
It's tough.
I regret it either way. Because it hurts to lose Die Hard.
I'll go with Aliens.
These are the dog days of summer, man. We knew we were going to get crazy matchups occasionally during summer, and here we are.
I'll tell you, I'm definitely more content with picking Aliens this time than I did with Alien and Jaws.
Really?
That one was still more difficult for me, dude. Giving me that last one, that weighs on me sometimes.
They're both so similar. They're both Jaws and Alien, and Aliens and Die Hard are like this.
That's the most beautiful.
They're all the same movie. Like those pairs are the same.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
All right.
Yeah, I'll go Aliens, though.
All right, well, there we have it. So Aliens goes on to win. James Cameron gets a victory. John McTiernan gets a loss.
That's a dub for the 80s and a loss for the 80s right there.
It is.
Which is weird.
And it is also a little weird.
Also, I'm pretty sure that happened in the 80s before, too.
Well, that happened with Jaws and Alien are both
70s. Oh, the 70s.
And then this one, Aliens and Die Hard are both
80s. But not this time. With our new matchup.
Yeah.
All right, so our next July matchup is going to be 1991 versus 2014, and we actually did this pick offline.
We rolled on vacation.
We did it legit.
Off camera.
We still rolled, and we did random choosings of the year. But
excited for this one.
So, yeah, 1991, I can't even remember what some of the other options were because the first option was, of course, James Cameron's Terminator 2,
Judgment Day.
Is that the first time a director has gone back to back? It's not, right?
That's that's going to be an amazing.
Did Spielberg? Well, with
Spielberg
Indiana Jones?
Did in May.
I think that was close.
Yeah, Spielberg did.
Okay.
So with, James Cameron back in the in
and,
effect.
And is it Russo brothers faced each other?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. The rarely
back
seen
back in the same week, bro. Days back to back days.
Rarely seen against each other. And then 2014, we're going with. Dawn of the Planet
Dawn
of the Apes.
Of the Planet of the Apes. Matt Reeves. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
There you
Matt
go.
Reeves's.
So if John,
good luck.
If John McTiernan,
good luck, Dawn.
Yeah, if John McTiernan couldn't beat James Cameron, good luck, Matt Reeves.
Hey, man.
Hey, dude.
Dawn of the Planet
this is
his, cool, man.
This is Matt Reeves' best chance,
it
though.
Probably
yeah,
is
it
Matt
is.
If any movie's
until
going
Batman
to.
Out, bro. Yeah, yeah, man.
Until Batman so. Comes out, allegedly, this is his best matchup. Yeah, Pasty Mamba
so
is
too.
Not
it's
shy
crazy.
About his love for this movie.
Well, I'm very open with my love for Dawn of... Matt Reeves is...
It has...
2014's
dude,
Dawn of the Planet.
It
the
has
Apes,
one
bro.
Of the best villain arcs ever, bro.
Dude, it's
like, it's pretty...
How
it's,
cool this movie is, dude. Yeah. And
have
they
you,
did it with apes, bro?
Have you guys
That's
watched
so cool.
it yet?
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
I have.
We will see.
So
if...
wait, what are your thoughts? I want to.
Well,
okay,
I mean,
never mind.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But hopefully, it can be as epic as Terminator mm-hmm. 2.
But hey, yeah. Let me say this too. T2, bro, does not mess around. Okay. For real,
around,
man. That
bro.
T1000 is scary.
T2 is a full title contender, bro. Like,
yeah,
easily a title
yeah,
contender.
T2 is.
Good luck, Dawn, bro.
Yeah, man. Let's not love Dawn, but good luck, Dawn. Which, you know, I'm probably going to rewatch T2
them...
again because it's been longer. But yeah, man.
T2 is crazy.
Yeah.
It is gonna be a fun one
It'll
to watch. I think these two
yeah.
movies are just crazy
and
fun to watch.
And both
so.
Sequels, that's kind of cool. Both I sequels. Like how sometimes
yeah,
that
sure.
works out, the little story. Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, well, there you have it. Congratulations to Aliens. Once again, Xenomorphs jack up some of the greatest entertainment in society. Die Hard joins Jaws as defeated movies.
Actually,
by
Die Hard
the
joins,
Alien franchise,
Die Hard actually joins Scanners too.
That's true.
Bro.
Yeah,
first round exit.
That's true because Jaws. I think
don't forget
Jaws did
Jaws
make it to the second
Jaws
round.
The
that's
playoffs,
true. You're right.
Man.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're, good point. Fair point.
Yeah,
when is did we lose Predator already? Oh, I
we
guess it
have.
Came out in June,
probably.
And what was it? 87. Yeah, that went to Nightmare on Elm Street 3 is representing that year. So
yes,
that's the curse and the beauty
Talk
of this
Freddy Krueger, man.
Of this competition
oh,
is there is
Dream
a lot
Warriors.
Of chance.
We're gonna get
play.
To it in August, bro.
There's a lot of chance.
We're about to get back
wild.
to the
yeah,
sketchy areas of cinema next
it's
month.
August, still got, honest. August still has dope stuff.
Yeah,
it
has
does.
A, well,
some,
it has some things,
some,
yeah, for sure.
But,
September,
but we're
September's,
definitely...
September's where it gets iffy.
It's
September,
almost like...
October, we're not going to
cool.
hit a lot of slashers.
Yeah, October
right?
will be cool. October will be really cool.
November can be pretty good. Same with December.
Yeah. Or it could be like bears hibernating and
no,
we better
yeah.
eat all we can right now.
November could
yeah.
be sketch, bro.
November definitely
could
be can
sketch.
Be.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
November had some good stuff, but ooh.
In December, we're probably pretty safe.
December we're safe.
But what's cool about some of those months movies. Is we get exposed to some movies that, I don't know, we maybe haven't seen in a while.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
probably
yeah,
will,
yeah.
True.
Probably will.
But yeah, there you go, man.
There we have it. Xenomorphs rule the day again.
Xenomorphs go ballistic again for dub.
All right.
Much play.
All right.
I think that's going to do it for this episode. Thanks for coming out. Thank you, legendary special guest Blue Milk, for
Follow
making
me
an appearance.
At Blue Milk 230.
Yeah, go hit
See
all your
everything.
Plugs real quick if you need it.
Yeah, no, you'll get all that's the it? Information to everything I'm doing at that Twitter.
Okay, yeah, yeah,
as
yeah.
soon
so,
as it's happening.
On Twitter at Blue Milk 230.
Yeah, yeah.
Go check out me on Twitter at Pasty Mamba, and then go check out the pod on Twitter at HC Pod. That's probably the place where you should hit us up.
Please, God, hit us
for
up.
For your Masters of the Universe rants.
Come at us, fan.
If they're coming.
Nerds.
You can also email us at headlessshakingpodcast@gmail.com. But yeah, come at us. I want all the nerds to come at me, bro, with everything they have. Dude,
good luck.
I'll die on this hill, that part one, without seeing part two. All right, yeah, it's not wrapped up, bro.
You won't win.
You know, we'll see. But that's going to do it. All those links will be in the description. Thanks for coming out, and I think we'll see you in the next one. Deuces.